Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What a privilege it is to be here, isn't it? What a great thing, you know, in a family and God's blessing upon our life. I spoke to our brother here today. I'm a very, very rich man. Not so much in money, but there's riches in other things. And having a family and having God's blessing upon your life is a tremendous, tremendous, richest thing. A family were talking about a wedding the other day, and they just mentioned their daughter was getting married. And I said, "Oh, that's great." And he said, "Yeah, well, we can blame you for that." And I said, "Oh, what's wrong?" "Well, because you came to the church and you prophesied over my daughter and you said that you felt something in your heart. You felt God speak to you and say that how can two walk together except they be agreed?" And at that particular time, she was going along with somebody else. And she burst into tears when she got home and cried for 2 days and broke off that arrangement that she was in with that particular person. And then she met Mr. Wright. And they've got a beautiful, beautiful relationship together. And they both agreed and they both go along with God and so on. So God does speak to us, you know. Some people hear a little bit clearly. God can speak to you even when you're having lunch with somebody. God can speak to you in church. God can speak to you any different ways. And there's no particular one way that God can speak to you. The thing is that God is a speaking God. God, the Holy Ghost wants to communicate with you, because if you're tuned in, the Spirit of God can say things to you that those other people will never, ever know. And they can't know, because it's nothing to do with education. It's by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that eye has not seen, you're not going to see it with your eyes, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has for those that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So God wants to reveal things to you, and you'll never know any other way except that God wants to communicate to you. How he does it? Through different people, through you perhaps. It's not a big freaky thing. God just quietly speaks to you. My wife and I were counseling this young woman up in Cairns, and she was going on and on and on and on and talking about all these difficulties and stuff, and just dropped into my heart the occult. And I said, "Just stop a minute." And she said, "What, Pastor?" I said, "Have you had anything to do with the occult? Ouija boards, fortune tellers, and all of that stuff?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, we're right into that. Everybody is." And I said, "No, everybody's not." And so we talked to her, and my wife prayed for her, and she was set free some stuff, and we told her to don't take notice of fortune tellers. You just rebuke that. So God spoke a simple word like that, and it turned her right away, right around. God wants to speak to you. And God will use sometimes the most unusual people, okay, to communicate his plans and his purposes. I talk to my son, I talk to my grandchildren, you know, and why? Because I love them. I love my family. And so therefore I talk to them. And I talk to my friends. Why? Well, that's what we do. And God is our Father in heaven. And how much more does he want to communicate with us? So the message this morning really is, be open. God wants to use you to talk to somebody. Why? Because God wants to speak through you to bless somebody. Okay? We don't have to be a super spirit. We don't have to be this or that, anything, for God to be able to communicate. You're in a small group, and after a time of worship, you know, and you just have a strong feeling on your heart that God wants to us to think about this. I just got a strong feeling, actually, that the Lord wants us to consider this. I just feel there's something about healing coming into my heart. Well, let's pray for anybody sick. Yeah, there's somebody sick over here. Well, just pray for them. And you're being used to communicate a word of knowledge to that person, see? And it's not dramatic. So I want to demystify the prophetic and bring it down to a level we can all understand. And doesn't matter, you're having a cup of tea with somebody and they're going through some problems and difficulties and they're sharing all their heartaches with you, and it's very real and very sad. But deeper down, tune in. And the Spirit of God wants to communicate what the real cause is. Okay? And because God wants to help them. And I left school at 13. I've never, ever had the privilege of having a plaque on the wall in my 40 years of ministry. But if there's been anything at all, it's because of the precious Holy Spirit has occasionally used me to bless others. And so I just give him praise. But we're going to look at the prophetic, and we'll just go through some things here, and I trust it's going to be good. Okay. Prophecy. Word of prophecy in Hebrew is naba, which means to flow, boil up or bubble over, or pour forth words. And sometimes it comes out like that. Some people prophesy, and that's what it is. An Old Testament prophet is a spokesman or speaker who's a special agent to deliver a message. The prophets brought a word from God, thus saith the Lord. And the Spirit inspired their speech, caused their own words to bubble forth. It's the same today. People can utter words from the Lord as he inspires them to speak, to build up people, to encourage them, and to comfort a church or a group. In Prophecy 1 Corinthians 14, it says this, that you really want to be a blessing to others. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not about you, not about me. It's because God wants to bless somebody else. That's really what it's all about. Prophecy is not for me, but it's to pass on something from God that he wants to bless others. And so really to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to desire, Lord, I want to be a blessing to others. I want to see people healed. I want to see God communicate to people. And it says there that desire spiritual gifts. We've got to really want things. We really want to encourage others, because that's what prophecy is for. Gift of prophecy in the church is greater than speaking in tongues, requiring an interpretation. Prophecy seeks to build up people. Prophecy is a sign that God is in the house. And so these are some of the things, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks about that. Now here we've got an illustration of the prophetic word, which changed, it literally ended up changing the face of Europe. Interesting. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, so the Holy Spirit now is going to use a prophet and he's going to speak, and he speaks. And the Holy Spirit said through the prophet, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit said, now is the time. They already knew what they were going to do, because the Spirit of God had already spoken into their hearts And they knew that they were going to go on a church planting mission. They didn't know quite where it was going to end, but they knew that they had to step out in faith, but they were waiting for the timing. And sometimes we've got things in our heart, you've got things in your heart, but there's a divine timing here. And the Holy Spirit said, now, and separate to me Paul and Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit will impart something to you. When I was 12 years old, I was in Cheltenham, where that Southland supermarket thing is now. There was an orphanage there. And you're walking over the same place. I used to round up cows there. And the orphanage had a little farmlet, you know, a few cows, and I used to get up. And they had a little sing-song in the orphanage on Saturday night, and the superintendent was a Dr. Matheson. He'd been a POW in the Japanese, and wonderful, wonderful man. Anyway, he was leading some songs, and a voice spoke into my heart, one day you're going to be a minister. So God communicated something to me. Now, when he communicates that, it doesn't go. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. Something just lodges in your heart and it stays there. And if you have, God has spoken to you at any time in your life, and you know that it's God and it hasn't come to pass, it just hasn't worked out the way, don't give up on it. Don't give up. Right. Never, never give up, because God doesn't give up, and he can cause any door to open. He can change any circumstances, right, and he can have you here, there, or anywhere at all, just like that.
Yeah.
But he wants us to believe God. He gives us something ahead, and it took quite a few years for that to open up. But so God lays something into your heart oftentimes. And it looks an impossibility, but with God, all things are possible, because he's going to say to you, can you believe me when it looks impossible? And God can and will use you, communicate to you, and use you to communicate to others. So it's very interesting. Well, then there's another instance there. And having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and then they sailed to Cyprus. And that started a church planting movement that went right throughout Turkey. But then something happened and the Spirit of God spoke again. Number one, it confirmed the separation of Paul and Barnabas to church planting. And then another prophet, whose name was Agabus, he came and warned them that there was a famine coming, and later on the same prophet spoke to Paul and warned him that certain things, tough things, were up ahead. So the ministry of the prophet, what do? Really, we stir people up, exhortation, edification, we mean to build people up, you know, comfort to bind people up, and conviction to open people up so God can use this is something quite incredible. Here they are, they're on this church planting mission and they're establishing churches. And so Paul, a very clever guy, decides we're going to go over here. But the Holy Spirit said no. And so he says, okay, then we'll go over here. We'll go that way. The Holy Spirit said no. See, the Holy Spirit can say go, but the Holy Spirit can also say no. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say no to redirect you into the flow so that you can start flowing in what God wants you to do, and you're not actually doing what you want to do. Because sometimes the things that we want to do... I was working in a farming situation, and... A Christian brother came down, took photos of our children, and when he brought the proofs back to show us, he said, the Lord's told me, Roy, that I've got to train you to be a photographer. And I said to him, don't be silly, I'm a farming person, that's all I've known, right? You know, what do you mean? What have I got to do? Well, you've got to dress yourself up and you've got to put a tie on and you've got to go and ask, families, do they want any photos taken? I said, what? I said, you don't understand what I do. I've got trucks and so I said, no. And then my back went on me and I had no choice. And so I had to go out and do that. And I found out I was extremely successful at it. Took some of the most beautiful photos that one guy said to me once. He said, how come you take photos like that? I said, I pray. He said, oh, don't give me that. I said, yeah, fair dinkum, I do, you know. I'd say, Holy Spirit, you helped design this whole place. You know, can you please show me? Look, this is a beautiful family. I'd love to get the guy moved this way and get the lady and put the baby in the front. And they come out so beautiful. See, the Holy Spirit, He loves to help you. He loves you to say, Holy Spirit, can you help me? Can you help me? We're in Colac and some unemployed boys and I wanted to help them get working. I heard there were some jobs cutting timber down in the forest, you see. And so I said, come on, lads, we're going to go down and cut timber. So anyway, we took them down there and I didn't realise what we had to do, but they pull a big log in, you know, about 4 foot long, you know, it's about this high, and we had wedges and a hammer and a sledgehammer, and we had to split this wood up. Unbelievable. I looked at it, and of course they were dead, never having a clue, and then I put the wedge in the thing, and bang, and it bounced off it, and I said, oh dear, we're not going to do any good here at all. And so I prayed, I said, Holy Spirit, you designed all this stuff. You know, can you please help me? How can I? I'm only here to help. And I just said to the Holy Spirit, said, look, there's a little crack in the end of that log. Put your wedge in there. I said, all right. I said, boys, here. Give it. So we put the wedge in, bang, and the thing, gunk, it split open. Unbelievable, Holy Spirit. You're even interested in cutting wood. Glory to God. See, the Holy Spirit is interested, see, in everything in your life. Everything, okay. Why? Because he comes from the Father, and the Father's interested, and he loves his children. See, you're loved, and God cares for you. And in this particular case, the Holy Spirit stopped them going here and stopped them going there. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Well, they couldn't go any further because they come to the coast, you see. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia come and pleaded with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And it's interesting then, the gospel moved into Europe and not into the East. And so therefore changed the whole face of Europe. Okay, but that prophetic word was given to start that momentum of church planting that changed. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There are gifts. There is the gift of prophecy. But then what happens is God may put his hand upon you and the prophetic will become more part of your life and you take a greater interest in prophetic things you're interested in end times and you start to study Bible prophecy and gradually God starts to use you. One of our roles were running a children's camp each Christmas. My wife and I and others, we were involved in it. And there were times of revival. You know, the Spirit of God would fall on those young people and it was absolutely beautiful to see what would happen, you know, and we're in the middle of this revival time and the children were getting blessed and God was doing beautiful things. It was absolutely lovely and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, leave the meeting and go back up into the pine trees. What, now? Leave this? So I did. I said, look, excuse me, guys, I just feel I've got to go. And I had a notebook, so I left. Oh, they had a good team. So I went up and I'm sitting amongst the pine trees. Now, what am I doing here? And then all of a sudden I sensed the presence of God come. And when that happens, you know that the Lord wants you to prophesy or speak to somebody, and there's nobody there. And I'm looking around. I said, what are we going to prophesy to the pine trees or something? You know, I'm thinking. And then I realized I pulled out a pen and I had a pad with me, and one of our leading pastors came on my mind like that, well known, you know. And I started to pen down a word for him. And then five times this happened, different pastors I knew all over the country, all over. And now I've got all these prophecies, and I don't know what to do with them, do I? So what am I going to do? Because they're high-profile pastors in our movement. And so I took them to our senior pastor at the time, Pastor Andrew Evans, and I said, Pastor Andrew, what should I do with this? And he read them, and he said, well, you can send three of them. Don't send the other two. In fact, one of them, you're speaking in King James English. You know, he is your brother, for goodness sake. You know, just say, you know, hello, how you going? You know, you try and make it at least. The other one, don't send it at all. He won't receive it. So I did that. And about 3 or 4 months later, he happened to pass us. He said, oh, you know that prophetic word you had? And I'd send it now. He'll receive it. Now, here you see two ministries working together. You see the prophetic and you see the apostolic. See, it's apostles and prophets. And over 40 years of ministry, I look back on when I've probably been the most useful to Jesus was when I was working in partnership in some way with an apostolic person who has governance and those other areas. And together, we're able to achieve so much more for the kingdom of God. So even though we want to do things for God, sometimes we can accomplish so much more if we're working as a team and we're sharing our strengths and our weaknesses, and God can use that. Well, you can do so much on your own, but so working with an apostle and a prophet, and I learned something then. And so I'll just drop that in there for you. But so the foundation was prophets there. And God appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, apostles, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. See, we're all needed. Are all apostles? No, they're not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Why? So therefore we need one another to work together. But then I mentioned that God has revealed things. A prophet today is one who Jesus Christ inspires and enables by divine revelation to know and proclaim his purposes, whether it's over coffee with someone in Starbucks or Macca's, or whether it's in a meeting, or whether it's in a small group. But God will start to speak to you because he wants to communicate something to others through you. And sometimes you've got to spend some time and being quiet. Sometimes you've got to start fasting and praying, because to sharpen your spirit to be able to receive the things of God. And I found that. So that's a good thing. Probably good for the diet too, isn't it? And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, Jesus here, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, so that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. So the prophetic ministry is given by Jesus to the church. Now, David Cartledge, that you probably remember, some of you, the idea of a spiritual and spontaneous word from God uttered by an anointed mouthpiece is basic to the New Testament church. There are a few ministry practices that are more prone to misunderstanding, yet no believer or church can afford to jettison this ministry as too troublesome. God is a speaking God. Let's say it together. God is a speaking God. That's right. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the ministry of the word. But there's also a prophetic area too that God wants to use you in. God is a speaking God. Prophecy is basic to the church, like air is to breathing. All a mouthpiece for God. In Joel chapter 2, 28, it says, "And it shall be afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." And so speaking of the day of Pentecost, which is the day of Pentecost today, isn't it? It's the day of Pentecost today. And so speaking of that day when the Spirit of God was going to be poured out, and so I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Prior to that, it was on certain people at certain times, and God communicated his will and purpose through these people, but not generally was the Holy Spirit poured out upon everybody. But here it says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave women in those days." In other words, there's absolutely no difference at all in any social standing. There's no, God is no respecter of persons at all. Each one of us have a standing, and that standing is through Jesus Christ alone. It says, "He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And that's how God sees us. He sees us as the righteousness of God. He sees us as he would see Jesus, his precious son. That's how he sees us. And that's how he deals with us. He doesn't deal with us as we were. He deals with us as he sees us as we are. We mightn't see ourselves that way. That doesn't alter how God sees us. Praise his holy name. You know, some people believe that the prophetic ministry has ceased with the completion of the New Testament scriptures. Confusion and misunderstanding over the ministry and function of the Old Testament and New Testament prophets, you know, but it's a little bit inconsistent, really, because they accept pastors, you know, they accept teachers, and they accept evangelists, but when it comes to apostles and prophets, they seem to think, well, they're not for today. Well, I believe everything, the whole thing is for today, okay? We need the whole lot. And we don't go away, we don't usually go around calling people apostles or prophet this or apostle that. We're not into that. That's not the Australian way, eh? Okay? "By their fruits you shall know you." Okay, if he's a prophet, well, what does he say? If he's an apostle, well, what's the result? It's not a matter of having titles. It's really, it's a matter of having the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. It's we're not interested in all of that, but we just believe that it is for today. There is a spirit of prophecy, where the Holy Spirit will cause men to speak forth a message as a man's preaching or a woman's preaching. The Spirit of God will come upon them, and it'll be out. Then there's the gift of prophecy, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the office of a prophet, and that takes time to develop. And then there's the prophecy of Scripture, the prophetic books that we can look at that will definitely come to pass. 1 Corinthians 14 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." So the Scripture encourages us that it's not only for today, it's for you. And not only is it for you, but you need to start praying and desiring that God would use you to bless the people in your world. Because you don't realize that you can communicate things to them that can literally change their lives. And it's not going to be something you're going to get out of a book or any other way. And I'll tell you now, Google doesn't have it. It's got a lot of stuff, but that doesn't have that, yeah. And "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, and the church may receive edification. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." Now this takes all the weight off us, because it's not up to us. God has set certain people and certain giftings in the body where and how it pleases him. And so our main thing is, Lord, here I am. Lord, please use me that I might be a blessing to others. Okay, wherever I am, And the Spirit of God can come upon you and you can start to hear the voice of God for others. But he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives. Now, if we don't believe that a prophecy is for today, you'll never get any benefit out of it at all. Okay? So, all right. But if you believe, yes, prophecy is, the Bible tells us that prophecy is, and if we receive somebody in the name of a prophet, we receive their ministry, and perhaps if they minister to us and God gives you a word, and you'll get a reward out of that. But if people have, I don't believe in all that stuff, okay, well, you can not believe in all that stuff and you can quietly go on your way and you won't get a reward out of it. That seems to be a philander. Jesus is talking here. But if there is a prophetic ministry and we receive it and we, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart and I'm open to that, we'll receive that prophet's reward. There are some keys, some guidelines, I just believe, and with the prophetic, and that is that if people are prophesying or moving in that area, they have to be known by the leadership within the church. Okay, I believe a prophet that comes in, if he's invited in by the leadership of the church, and if people are in the church and they have a prophetic word, I believe the leadership need to know. And what happens in many churches, the person will come forward and they'll say, I've just got a word from God I'd just like to share before the people today. Now, it's the pastor and the leadership, well, then they open the door to that. But there are sometimes some strange people can come in and they have some funny things, and it's probably better if the people didn't necessarily hear that. And it's up to the leadership to open the door or close the door. That's what the leadership is to protect God's people, you see. And so, therefore, have a word, come to the front, inform the leadership, and you just go ahead and make room for that prophetic ministry. In a small group, encourage the gifts to develop. I believe that's happening. Let the prophets judge a prophecy or submit the word to the pastor if regards the church for them to pray over. We had a situation in the church where we attend that one of the ladies was leading and the anointing of God came on her and she felt to open up the altar and have an altar call for people that were sick, and people came forward and this stirred the spirit up in one of the other ladies who wasn't hardly coming to church ever and whatever, and so she came forward and she had this thing that she wanted to give, and the leader in the meeting said, no, we've had enough today, thank you, all right, just let that go. Now, that was his prerogative, you see, that was a good thing, because I felt myself, and that, yes, God has been gracious to us. And so, therefore, there's a submitting of one to another. And the first church I went to was mostly Indigenous people and Torres Strait Islanders, beautiful, beautiful people. And we had one lady there, she owned a shop and she used to come there. And I'd get up to preach, and the moment I got up to preach and start to open the Bible, away she'd go and she'd talk in tongues, you know, and she'd give this word. And it happened every Sunday. And I said, sister, do you have to sort of, just before I speak, do you have to get up and speak and speak out in a tongue like that all the time? And she said, well, I can't control it. She said, it just happens. I said, no, it doesn't. It said the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You see. In other words, you can control these things, you see. Oh, she said. And anyway, then she took notice of it and she spoke at a different time. And I was a green bean too, because I didn't really know what to do either at the start. But then we talked it through, and God was gracious to her. Oh, precious soul, she is a lovely lady. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. It says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. See, there is a testing part of it, you see. Hold on to what is good. And in every prophetic word, you should ask, does the prophecy line up with the Bible? The Holy Spirit will never act in contradiction to the written word of God. He's the one who inspired the Bible in the first place. Very, very important that. Is the prophecy given in love and grace or in anger and judgment? Sometimes it can be. What's the character and fruit of the person giving the word? And usually what I, you know, if a person is a prophetic person, I usually say, where are you fellowshipping? Oh, look, I don't need to go to a church, mate. You know, God speaks to me, thank you. And I said, oh, really? Okay, and yeah, well, God puts the solitary in families, mate. You know, and I mean, the church is the family of God, and you know, it's I don't believe we have isolated Christians. I believe God places people within a family of God, and we need correction. We need to be adjusted by God's word, and even living with one another within the church. I mean, that's an adjustment, okay, and that's a good thing. And if you're not going to any church, and well, I've got a question mark on that. See, it says there, by their fruits, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. The personal character of a prophetic minister, or any minister for that matter, is the foundation of his or her. So character is a primary guide to determining whether someone is a true or a false prophet. Is there some sort of religious bias in the attitude of the person? You know, sometimes people have hobby horses, don't they? But one thing about a hobby horse, it never gets anywhere. A lot of action, but no progress. Do I sense the witness from the Holy Spirit? When the Lord's speaking to us, no matter what method he chooses, our born-again spirits recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. Praise God forever. Jesus made it clear in John 10 that his sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. So if a personal prophecy is not of God, the born-again Christian will get what's known as a check in his spirit or her spirit, an uncomfortable feeling in the pit of the stomach telling them that something is not right. Okay, well, just disregard that. Okay, just don't go ahead with that. But the leadership within the church will endeavor to only present people that are going to build up and encourage people. Don't reject a directional word, but test it against the other keys. Now, we're in central New South Wales, Eleanor and I, and we went to this particular church. And anyway, the pastor, because I'd had experience in the past with in the farming scene, he said, look, he said, I've got a guy here, and we had a prophet come through, and he prophesied over him and said, one day you're going to be in the ministry and God's going to bless you. So he went home and he said to his wife, we're going to Sydney to Bible school. Just like that. And his wife said, we've got three small children, and how are we going to do this? Anyway, so she rang up the pastor and she said that David wants us to move to Sydney next week. And so he went to see him and he said, listen, David, I believe the word's good. Now, I believe that, I believe that word will come to pass. However, because you're a relatively new Christian, you really need to be in the church. You need to be starting to share some responsibility within the church. You need to start to do some basic training, okay, to prepare you for that, and then go down at, say, at the end of the year and start next year. No, no, God said, I'm going, that's it, didn't you? And, look, David, I really think for your sake it would be better if you spent the time to the rest of the year in the church. I believe in that word. I believe God will use you, you know, and so I can see that myself. No, off they went. Well, it was a disaster, wasn't it? So he gets down to Sydney and here's his poor wife trying to manage three little ones, you know, and from a country, and she ended up coming back And he ended up coming back, and he was living over here, she was living over. Oh, it was an absolute shambles. And so he said, come round and we'll speak to this guy. You might be able to make sense, you might be able to talk to him, because you've been in the, he was also in the shearing industry as well. And so we knocked on his door and knocked on his door and knocked on his door, and he wouldn't answer it. We knew he was in there and he wouldn't come out. And he was totally, absolutely destroyed, you know. He said afterwards, I knew he was coming round. He said, I knew you'd bring him round, because he'd heard we were coming up, see. And he said, I knew he was involved in the farming side, so I reckon he'll bring him round, you know, to talk to me. But the good news is, glory to God, the good news is that even though we might bomb out, God doesn't forget us. God doesn't, you know, at all. And so what happened was, eventually the pastor did get up, he did open the door, and so they sat down and they prayed, and they asked God to please help him. And he said, God, I'm sorry. I should have listened to what Dave said. I should have listened to what the pastor said. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so stupid and stubborn. And anyway, you know what? He's on staff in that church now. His marriage has got back together, and God's been gracious to him. But you see how, you know, we can get a directional word and we can charge off, you know, but we also need to be able to share that with others and so on. And it's if the word's something new that you've never heard before, it may be directional and from the Lord, but don't act on it right away. Test it like you would any other guidance from the Lord. Amen. That'll do. Okay, that'll be good. Amen. Father, we thank you today that you do speak to us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, how wonderful you are. And we are your sheep. And Lord, you've told us that we know your voice. And you can speak to us individually. Lord, you can speak to us through your word. You can speak to us through the preaching, through the ministry. And dear Jesus, you can also use us, Lord, to speak a word in season to others. Lord, I pray for these precious people here today. Lord, I pray for a prophetic anointing to come upon them right now in Jesus' precious name. You know, what I'd like to do, those of you that would like to prophesy, that have a desire to prophesy, to be used of God, to be a blessing to others, just come out the front straight away, and I'm going to pray for you that prophetic anointing would come upon you that is upon me, okay? Just get out of your seat. Come on. You've got to got to have faith now. Come on. If you want to be used of God to prophesy and to bless others, just leave your seats. Because when you walk out, you're saying, God, I believe that you're going to impart to me something today. I believe in the supernatural impartation of the precious Holy Spirit. Okay. If people have come forward, okay, we're going to do that. Right. We're going to believe God for that. I'll say it again. Those of you that would like to have a prophetic anointing upon your life, that you might bring a blessing to others, that God could use you to speak to them, just come and join us at the front. I'm not going to do anything until you come. That's good. That's good. That's right. That's right. See, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Lord, I'm only coming out today because I want to be a blessing to others. I want to be used with what to have. Father, I just honor you today. And dear God, so often, Lord, you laid hands upon people and their lives were changed. And Lord God, you put an anointing upon your servants that they, as they prayed for others, there was an impartation, dear God, an impartation of gifting. And Lord, we believe in this today, dear God. Lord, only what I've got is just something you've given me, and I want to impart that to these precious people, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And brothers and sisters, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The fact that you're standing up here today means you diligently seek him. So I want you to believe that there's going to be an impartation of the precious Holy Spirit. and a gift of prophecy. Pastor Phil, would you like to pray with me as I go pray for each one? Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So,
thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.